Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Te presentamos a Daniela. A ella nada le sorprende.
Siempre estoy lista para lo que venga.
Por eso,
este año fui a Walmart a comprar todo para combatir mis alergias antes que comience la temporada de alergias.
Claro, porque Walmart tiene
productos de alta calidad para las alergias como descongestionantes, sprays nasales, antihistamínicos y más, y a precios muy buenos.
¿Y sabías que también tiene pickup y delivery? Daniela, ¿te sorprendiste?
¿Yo? No, ¿qué va? Claro que sabía que Walmart tiene pickup y delivery.
Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart.
What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for joining me here for this Wednesday edition of Fantasy MLB Today. We are a Sports Ethos presentation, of course, and I'm your host, Joe Orrico. You can find me over on Twitter at JoeOrrico99 and also at EthosFantasyBB. That's where you get all the different podcast updates, articles, news and notes, anything new in our draft guide. All of it you can find at EthosFantasyBB. And we have launched our draft guide officially. I've been talking about it over the last few weeks. It is officially live at sportsethos.com. I loaded up my rankings in there today, the top 100 starting pitchers, top 20 at each infield position as well. The top 250 overall, which is actually probably going to be closer to 300, as well as the top 50 outfielders and top 30 starting pitchers are all coming over the next couple of days as well. We have a ton of dynasty content. We have strategy pieces. We have sleepers and busts. We have a ton of stuff for you guys to be going through. I'm talking about like 50,000 words worth of articles. Shout out to the entire team at Sports Ethos. The work that you guys have done has been just exceptional, not just the writers, but the editors, everybody making the graphics, everybody who's been working on the website. All of it is just really top-notch work. And I really, really recommend you guys checking out all of that at sportsethos.com. I'm not usually somebody who is ever trying to sell you anything. If you guys have listened for any duration of time, you know that that's not been my thing. We've done more than 500 episodes here, and I've never tried to sell you anything. I've directed you over to our Twitter and all of our content, but I've never put us out there in terms of trying to sell you our product because, well, we haven't really had a product to sell until now. Last year, we did kind of have like a very small version of what we have this year, but this is like a whole new level, and I really, truly believe in the product. I wouldn't say that if I didn't mean it. My work has taken all of the offseason to put together these rankings and these projections. I've talked about it going back to October. I've put in hundreds of hours into my own work, and I know the guys have put in just so much work for each of these articles, and there is more stuff coming. There are going to be tons of articles reviewing drafts, different pieces of strategy that are going to, or different strategy pieces, just so much stuff still in the works as well. So please make sure you guys are checking that out at sportsethos.com. If you ever wanted to support my work, this is the absolute best way to be doing it. So make sure you guys are checking that out. That's sportsethos.com. And if you do check out my Twitter, you can find the links to all of that there as well. Now, we are going to be checking out some of the spring training news and notes from the last few days. We did this on Monday, taking a look back over the weekend. And then yesterday, we did our live draft. We did a live draft stream with John Legeza, our Tout Wars draft. So go check that one out if you did miss it. But we didn't get a chance to talk about some of the news and notes of the last couple of days. So we're going to do that now, talk about Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday's key notes. We're going to start with Monday and Yuri Perez. So he went an inning and two-thirds in his spring debut. He allowed three hits, one earned run, three strikeouts. He had a 26% strikeout, called strike plus whiff rate. It was nice to see him getting to 99 miles an hour already. He threw the five fastest pitches on Monday, 99.3. He hit that a couple times. He was also 98.9, 98.8, 98.7. He threw the five fastest pitches. The big question about Yuri is not something that we can really answer right now. It's more about what the Marlins are going to do with him. Will they let him throw enough innings to make it worth your while? His price generally is in the 70s or the 80s. Depending on your build, usually your second starting pitcher, but you know, understandably can be your number one. I did a draft this year, a draft champions format, a draft and hold, where he was my number one starting pitcher, and I was pretty happy with it. I'll be happier with it if the Marlins are letting him go 135, 140 innings is what I think we need to see for this draft cost to be justified. The talent, you know, John said it on the stream yesterday, if you needed any pitcher just to get you three outs in all of baseball, just talent-wise, like, he would be up there. The top three of the top five names, just in terms, like, not in terms of, you know, this season top three or top five ranking or anything like that, but it's not, like, crazy to think that. Like, if you're looking at dynasty rankings, he's a top three, top five starting pitcher. He is just so electric. He is incredible. It's just a matter of how much the Marlins are going to let him go. And I'm hoping that we see 130 or 140 innings, which I think would justify his draft cost. Let's talk about Yusei Kikuchi. He looked really, really good in his spring training debut. Two innings, one hit allowed, no earned. He struck out three and didn't walk anybody. 40% CSW. Really, really good stuff. I think he's still one of the more undervalued starting pitchers in drafts. I talked about a while back on Twitter how there were 19 qualified starting pitchers that were above average in stuff plus, location plus, and pitching plus, which are the metrics that Eno Saris has. They're available at FanGraphs. If you go and look at leaderboards and you go to the modeling sections, it'll show you stuff plus and all the different plus stats. So there were 19 of them who were above average in all three of those major ones. The only one that you can draft outside of the top 200, and his ADP is generally in the 230s, 240s, is Yusei Kikuchi. He also had close to a 20% strikeout minus walk rate, really good supporting metrics. I think he's really, really undervalued and somebody that you should be targeting in most drafts. There's no reason for him to be going where he's going. We'll talk about another Blue Jays pitcher in a few minutes, but there's not really anything that's going to stop Yusei Kikuchi from throwing 30 times this year. Like, there's not like a lot of competition really. I think the top four in the rotation are really set, and he is one of them. And there's no real reason to think that he won't be an absolute, you know, every single day starter 30 times out, 31 times this season, and probably giving you something similar to what we saw last year. I don't think he was necessarily maxing out. I think that's closer to just who he is. He's honestly a really good starting pitcher and a really good source of strikeouts late in draft. So I like what I saw. I liked what I saw the other day, and I think that we can hope for more of the same here from Kikuchi. We got to see if he's able to maintain this in spring training, because he's not somebody that's, you know, an impeccable guy. That's why he is going past pick 200, because he's certainly not like a stud, but I think that he's somebody who can return a lot of value. We just have to make sure he's able to maintain some solid performances throughout the rest of spring. Let's talk about Nestor Cortes. It was some mixed results. He had 2 2/3 innings pitched. He allowed 7 hits, 2 earned runs. He did strike out 4, didn't walk any, and had a 31% CSW. Now, some of the contact was not, it was like fluky type of base hits. It wasn't like a lot of hard contact. Still, I'd rather he didn't allow 7 hits, but the velo and the stuff were there, which is all you can really ask for. I do like him as a bounce back later in drafts this year. I think Nestor is somebody that is probably going a little bit too late. People are probably a little bit too out based on last year, but we had a couple of really strong seasons of bodies of work behind him before last year. You know, he wasn't fully healthy. I think that we could probably, if he is healthy, see a pretty solid return on his investment right now. And if he's not fully healthy, he's going late enough where you can cut him and he's not really going to hurt you. But we know that he is capable of giving you some really great seasons, and that team is improved this year, so there is going to be more win potential as well. Let's talk about Josiah Gray. Really, really solid outing against the Mets lineup that did feature Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor. 2 innings, 2 hits allowed, 5 strikeouts, no runs, no walks. You know, he was a strikeout beast in the minors, and we haven't really seen it at the big league level. 22.6%. He needs to be able to get that strikeout rate up to be able to be somebody that we're really, really interested in for fantasy. And this is a good start, right? And he's still so young. He's still at the point where those strikeouts could come back. It's not like he was a plus 30% guy in the minors and now he's going to be 22% forever. No, he's still only a couple years in his career. If he's able to get to 25, 26%, which is very possible, then I think Josiah Gray could definitely be very, very interesting. He was a very highly touted prospect. It was one of the centerpieces of the Max Scherzer trade a couple years ago. He's not somebody that we should give up on, despite the fact that the numbers are pretty ugly. I'll say that. Like, the numbers under the hood these last couple of years are pretty ugly, but a long way from giving up on him. Cedric Mullins is somebody that is very interesting. So he's been in my notes a few times. He's led off in all three of his spring training games so far. And Gunnar Henderson, Mike Curlin made a point because I did mention him in this tweet, and he said Gunnar is out and he has an oblique thing going on. And Curlin isn't fully ready to move him up in the lineup. And Mike Curland, if you're not familiar, he runs a website called MLBPlayingTime.com that you should all be using. I use Roster Resource as well. They're both really great resources to try and see what projected lineups are going to look like. Now, the fact that Mullins has been in the leadoff spot for all three games of spring, it is spring, but I think he's going to be a top-of-the-order guy more so than somebody who's probably batting sixth or seventh like we may have expected a few weeks ago. Even if Gunnar comes back and is the leadoff hitter, I think Mullins is going to be in the top third of the order. That is what I'm expecting at this point, and I think that it's not crazy to think that you could push him up a round or two in your drafts. He's going like in the 130s or 140s. If he's going in the 110s or 120s, I think that would be very reasonable to take him there. That lineup is very good. We've seen that he can give you like I don't think he's hitting 30 home runs again, but he can give you like close to 20 homers with 30 steals. Good counting stats. I think he's a really solid discounted player, especially in those five outfielder leagues where you just need them that much more.
Te presentamos a Daniela. A ella nada le sorprende.
Siempre estoy lista para lo que venga.
Por eso,
este año fui a Walmart a comprar todo para combatir mis alergias antes que comience la temporada de alergias.
Claro, porque Walmart tiene
productos de alta calidad para las alergias como descongestionantes, sprays nasales, antihistamínicos y más, y a precios muy buenos.
¿Y sabías que también tiene pickup y delivery? Daniela, ¿te sorprendiste?
¿Yo? No, ¿qué va? Claro que sabía que Walmart tiene pickup y delivery.
Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's talk about Hayden Wesneski, although we don't need to spend too much time on him. He's far from guaranteed a rotation spot in Chicago. There's been ups and downs, and he did not do himself any favors the other day. An inning in the third, he allowed 6 hits and 4 earned runs, struck out 1 against Kansas City. He's someone to just avoid altogether. I don't even think he's worth a late flyer. Even in your draft and holds, whatever your format you're playing, I think Hayden Wesneski, there were some bright spots, and there was a time when I thought he was going to be a really good pitcher, but at this point, he's kind of got to prove it to us at the big league level, and he has really not done that lately. It's one spring outing, and it could turn around a little bit, and maybe he does get a rotation spot, but as of now, he's not somebody that I think we can be terribly interested in. Ronzi Contreras is another one. I want to believe in him, but he does make it really difficult. His first outing of the spring, 2 innings pitched, 4 hits allowed, 2 earned runs, no strikeouts and 1 walk, only a 17% CSW. I just don't think he generates enough whiffs and gets enough strikeouts to really make it worthwhile. Could he progress? Like, he's still young enough where he maybe could figure it out. But we're closing in on bust status, I think. If he can't get his shit together sooner than later, it's really looking ugly, and I don't, you know, maybe it's too early to say that, but I'm just really not interested in Ronzi Contreras this year. On our stream yesterday, John did say that he was interested in Contreras, so differing of opinions there. But I just can't see myself really taking him outside of, like, maybe in a deep league or with my last round pick, potentially. But even then, with my last round pick, I think I can shoot for higher upside than Ronzi Contreras. He's just really not somebody I want to get in bed with at this point. Let's talk about Tuesday's games. And let's talk about that Blue Jays pitcher that I mentioned earlier, Alek Manoah. He was absolutely dreadful in his spring debut. An inning and 2/3, 3 hits allowed. He hit 3 batters, allowed 4 earned runs, did not strike out a batter. He also issued a walk and had a 13% CSW. We're all hoping for a big bounce back, but it's incredibly hard to be confident in Manoah right now. I was one of his biggest believers going into last season. I aggressively ranked him. I've talked about this. He was one of my biggest L's of the season last year. I think he was my 13th or 14th starting pitcher when the season started, when I submitted my final rankings for the season, for the preseason, that is. And it was a big miss. And this season, you know, I've got him in my top 100. He's down there. He's in the 70s, I think. But, man, like, I might even have to bump him lower than that. It's just, I don't even know what to say at this point. I'm not all the way out. Like, he could still return to form, but it makes it very, very hard to believe. You know, the flip side is, if he does return to form, then you're paying pretty much nothing for him. And if he does, then, you know, we've seen him. He was, you know, he's second in Cy Young voting a couple of years ago, or maybe he was third. But he was on the ballot for Cy Young. That's the upside. And I don't know if he's going to get there again, but even if he finds like 50, 60% of that, he's probably a good pick at ADP. I'm just, you know, after seeing what he did the other day, it's hard to be confident that you are going to see that. Christopher Sanchez, who is an industry darling. Everybody's interested in Christopher Sanchez. He had a very solid debut. 2 innings pitched, 1 hit allowed, no earned runs, 1 strikeout, no walks, and a 26% CSW. Velo is up across the board. Very popular sleeper, and it's for good reason, right? He's going in a range where it doesn't cost you much, if anything. Last pick of your 10 or 12-team draft, and he's somebody where the metrics were just so, so excellent last year. Is he going to have a sub 5% walk rate again? Maybe not, but he's pitching for a very good team. There's going to be win potential. I think that Sanchez is one of the best picks you can make at the end of a 12-team draft. I'm really, really interested in him. Let's talk Brandon Donovan. Looks solid so far in spring training, and I love that he's been leading off. He's a multi-eligible leadoff hitter. Even if he's not going to lead off against lefties, he'll be a strong side leadoff hitter, and most pitchers are right-handed. Very good lineup, and he's generally going past pick 300. I'll take it every single day, right? Depending on your format, some of them he's second base in outfield, some of them it's first, second in outfield. Wherever you're playing, he's a multi-eligible guy, and I think that Cardinals lineup is a lot better than people think. I've talked about this for, it feels like, a year and a half now. That Cardinals lineup is very good. It feels weird to be defending them after so long that they were just so dominant, but they had a bad year. People are down on them in general, and I think I mentioned it on a podcast, I think, last week, that people are just kind of down across the board, and that's why you might see Arenado and Goldschmidt and a lot of guys going a little bit later than they should, and Donovan is a prime example of that, somebody that I'm really aggressively targeting right now. Chris Sale had an outstanding debut against the Pirates. They had their full lineup out there, O'Neill Cruz, Brian Reynolds, Cabrian Hayes, and Chris Sale, 2 scoreless innings, 4 strikeouts, and a 48% CSW, a clinic, an absolute clinic. Again, he's another guy, different reasons than Yuri Perez, but same kind of outlook. If he's able to throw 130 innings, then you're absolutely gold. That's the only thing standing in his way, really. Time will tell. I'm not able to predict that at this point, if Chris Sale is going to be healthy or not. We'll see what happens. I think that depending on your build, if you've taken some fairly safe starting pitchers, some guys that you're fairly safe about in terms of innings pitched, the Logan Webbs of the world, the Logan Gilberts, you know, those types of guys where you're pretty certain they're getting 180, 190 barring injury, and you can take a bit of a risk on a Chris Sale type, then I think it's fine. As long as his price doesn't shoot up in spring training, which it might, like where he's going right now, if he's in the 120s, 130s, okay, if he starts going in the top 100, then we have to tap out because that would be ridiculous. But I could see it happening. People get very excited about starting pitchers in the spring, and Chris Sale is somebody that has been an SP1 like overall in the past. So it wouldn't be shocking to see him shoot up to the top 100. I'd have to tap out at that point. But right now, I think I have some interest depending on my build. George Kirby, one of my favorite pitchers this year, had a pretty rough first outing of the spring. An inning and a third, 4 hits, 3 earned runs, no strikeouts and no walks. It's not a big deal. I'm not adjusting anything in the ranks, of course. If people are going to be pushing him down even a few picks because of this kind of thing, then take it by the dip. There's another pitcher we'll talk about who pitched today on Wednesday with a similar kind of thing there. If people are going to be down because of a bad outing in the spring, for somebody with this level of talent and maybe he falls 4 or 5 picks later than he should, then buy it every single time. He's still elite. Let's just see how he does next time out. Garrett Crochet was able to hold his own against the Dodgers lineup that featured their big three. An inning and 2/3, he allowed 2 hits, struck out 2. We don't have StatCast data. When I don't say the CSW, it's because we don't have the StatCast data for that game, which I've bitched about a few times. Why we don't have StatCast data for every single park, minors, majors, whatever. I mean, we have it for all major league parks, but why we don't have it for every single minor league park too is just ridiculous and stupid. But in any event, it's really promising stuff from Crochet, another guy who is fairly promising flyer at the end of your drafts. I'm not sure if he's going to be a starter the entire year, but he could be gold if he sticks in the rotation. Again, another guy that I've talked about this like every year I've done the podcast. Those guys that you can take at the end of your drafts, those are gold. Those last two rounds, 250, 270, if they don't pan out, and a guy with this kind of upside, they may pan out, they may not. But if they don't, they're a very, very easy drop. Most of the players you take in that range anyway are not going to stick on your roster. So you can, depending on your build, again, if you've taken a lot of risks, then maybe you can play it safer in those last few rounds. But I think a guy like Garrett Crochet does make a lot of sense with the last pick of your draft. AJ Puck is another pretty interesting guy to monitor. 2 innings pitched, no hits, no earned runs, 3 strikeouts and a walk, and a 35% CSW. Miami has said that he'll stick in the rotation, or at least he'll get a shot. And he's been pretty damn excellent as a reliever the last couple of years, a 266 Sierra, a 302 XFIP, and a 27% strikeout minus walk rate. Whether or not he sticks in the rotation, I could see him having value, specifically in your deeper leagues, right? Like maybe not in your 10-team leagues, but I think if it's a 12-team league with roto rosters, middle and corner infield, deeper pitching roster, everything like that, then I think that you could see him having some value there. Definitely in 15-team leagues, AJ Puck, I think, is worth a shot. NFBC-style leagues, if he doesn't stick as a starter, he doesn't stick as a starter. We've seen he can do it as a reliever. And if you're not getting it as a starter, you can still get value out of those type of relievers. I've talked about that for the last couple of years as well. These guys don't have to necessarily be closers if they're high strikeout, good ratio guys to give you value. So AJ Puck is another guy who, again, is not going to cost you a lot, is worth a dart throw close to the end of your draft. And not to say that you take all of these guys that I'm mentioning, the dart throw guys, but one or two of them at the end could really pay off. Let's talk about today and Wednesday's quick hits. It's Tarik Skubal at the top. He had a really solid debut, 2 innings pitched, no hits, no earned runs, struck out 2, walked 1, and had a 31% CSW. Got his fastball sitting 97.5. He got up to 99, I believe, as well. There's been some kind of weird stuff with StatCast where they'll post a number, and then after the fact it's been changed. That's happened a couple times in spring training. So if something you're seeing or hearing after the fact is a little bit different, I apologize. There have been a couple of tinkerings that they have been doing. I guess they're just getting their feet wet for the year as well. But got to 99.6 according to the readings today. He hit 100 last week. Some are concerned about Tarik Skubal getting to this number already. I'm taking more of a glass half full approach here, which is odd for me because I haven't been a massive Skubal guy like a lot in the industry. I like him. He's a top 20 SP for me, but some people have him like top 10. I'm still taking the glass half full approach here. I'm going to say that it's a good thing that he's not limited out of the gate, right? Like this, we're always going to find a way to bitch about something. If it's too much velocity, not enough velocity. I think that more velocity is better than less velocity right now. If he was sitting 94, people would be saying, I don't know. But he's sitting 97 and people are worried, I'm fine with it, right? As long as he doesn't blow himself out every single start in spring and throw 100 every single time out, you know, he's just revving the engine a little bit, I think, and I'm okay with what we're seeing from Tarik Skubal. There are people who are in panic mode. If you want to drop him down a round, God bless, I'll take a round discount on him. I don't have any shares yet, but he's somebody that I could see myself grabbing here over the last few weeks of draft season, because the talent is incredible. And if he's throwing 100, that's a whole different thing than what we expected. I think we were expecting 97, maybe touching 98, but if he's able to get to 100, especially if he's able to do it consistently, which only time will tell, then Tarik Skubal may end up being somebody that does, or that should end up in my top 10. Not to say that he will, because I don't think he will, but potential for it for sure. Yoshinobu Yamamoto had a really nice debut as well. Two innings pitched, one hit, no earned runs, three strikeouts, and of course, we don't have StatCast data on this game. How lovely is that? He had the most whiffs today so far at the time of recording with 9. A few more spring training outings like this, and he'll be going in the second round consistently. And Justin Mason popped by our live stream yesterday, and he said that potentially if Yamamoto has, and his point was to more of the Korea series, if he has a great start in the Korea series, which is happening a week before the season and before probably a lot of people are having their drafts, then he could be a first-round guy. And that's where I tap out. I'm already tapped out in the second. Like, I'm not taking Yamamoto in the second round. It's too much of an unknown. You never know how these guys are going to look over the course of a whole season. He looked nasty today. Nasty. Over the course of a full season, I'm not like 100% sure what that's going to look like. There are more sure things I can take in the second round. And if Justin's right and people start taking him at the first or even at the 1-2 turn, then you're passing up the Gausmans, the Wheelers, the Castillos of the world, potentially Cole. I just can't get behind it. If you're able to get him in the third, the fourth round, you know, I'm interested enough, especially if it is the fourth round, which, you know, that'll be more home league style, Yahoo, ESPN players. You're probably able to get him in the fourth round. If you're playing in the NFBC, there are going to be some people who take him ridiculously high up, way higher than they should. But I think if you are playing on Yahoo, if you're playing ESPN, Fantrax, CBS, you're probably still going to get Yamamoto at a fairly reasonable price, and he's somebody that you should be looking at if you are able to get him, like in the 40s or the 50s. 20s, 30s, I tap out, but 40s, 50s, I think is pretty interesting. Edward Cabrera was pretty encouraging today as well. Two innings pitched, two hits allowed, no earned runs, struck out a couple, and had a 35% CSW. A couple of big things. He didn't walk anybody, and he threw 64.5% of his pitches for strikes. 20 out of 31. That's really great stuff. The only thing really holding Edward Cabrera back from being an ace is the lack of command. If he's able to get that under control and he's able to get the walk rate, even if it's still above league average at like 10%, 9, 10%, man, like he could definitely be a top 25 starting pitcher. He's somebody that I was thinking could break out last year, and he was one of my kind of sleeper breakouts for last year. Looked promising at first. It definitely did not pan out. I'm not quite as in on him this year as I was last year, but I think there's still a lot to really like about Edward Cabrera. If he does kind of break out, do not be surprised, because it's definitely a possibility. Now, when I was talking about George Kirby, I mentioned there was another pitcher who did not have a great start, but not massively concerned about it either. It was Pablo Lopez. Two innings pitched, three hits allowed, two earned runs, two strikeouts, no walks, and only a 22% CSW. Velo was about the same as it was in 2023 across his whole arsenal. If people want to overreact and buy any dip that comes over the coming days, people in their drafts, like Pablo Lopez is kind of in that same group as the Wheeler, Castillo, Gausmans, for me and for a lot of people this year. If people want to push him down a few picks, it doesn't have to be, you know, when I say people are going to push him down, in your head you might think that means a round or two rounds or three rounds. It might just be five or seven picks. It might just mean going from the end of the second to the beginning of the third. But I think that's still valuable if you are able to get any kind of discount on a guy like a Lopez of that kind of talent level, or a Kirby because of a bad first outing of spring. When the talent level is that high, I don't worry. When it's lower and we're talking about an iffy guy already and they come out looking like shit, that's when I get worried. But when it's a guy like Lopez, I'm not terribly concerned. Brady Singer, two innings pitched, one hit, no earned runs, struck out three. He was awful in 2023, but I think he is probably too heavily discounted this year. I think he can probably be closer to the 2022 version of himself and be like a maybe a 4 ERA as opposed to like a well above 5 useless fantasy asset. He's pitching in Kansas City. You're not going to see massive win upside, of course. Like, you're capped at probably 8 or 9. But again, as a late round guy, if it doesn't pan out, then you drop him. But the potential is there. We've seen it already. And as you get older, you learn different things. It was a bad year last year. Good start to the spring. I'm willing to kind of give him the benefit of the doubt that he can potentially turn it around. Not that he'll be as good as he was in 2022, but there is a middle ground there between the two seasons, and he could potentially have some value. We'll wrap it up with Ryan Pepiot. Solid against my Blue Jays today. 2 innings pitched, allowed 3 hits, but struck out 3, walked 1, 29% CSW. He was great in 2023. He was also very lucky in 2023, but this is one where you kind of just don't even care what the numbers say. As good as the numbers are, he's going from one really great pitching organization to another, from the Dodgers to the Rays. I think that you're probably looking at a great pitcher this year. Like, what do we have to look at here just from every year of Rays pitchers? They bring a guy in, he comes up, they get traded. Like, wherever they get these guys from, they end up being incredibly valuable, especially when there's already a base of success in their previous organization. I really, really think Pepiot is going to be good. He's a guy that I don't have yet in any of my drafts, and I'm feeling like I'm going to regret it once the season gets going. And maybe he does pop off a Zach Eflin top 12 type of SP season. I don't think any of us would be really surprised. But that'll do it. Guys, like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. I mentioned that, or I should have mentioned that off the top. I've been trying to mention it as often as possible. It's another one where we are putting a ton of content out there. It's live stream drafts. It is podcasts. It's different videos. Tons of different stuff that we are putting out there. Most of our team previews were done over on YouTube as well. We did our Tout Wars draft, our auction live stream last week. We're going to be doing more mock drafts and other great stuff over on YouTube as well. So at Sports Ethos, subscribe, like our recent videos, and do what you can there. Do what you can. If you're not somebody who is able to help out by subscribing to Sports Ethos and getting a fantasy pass, then doing what you can in terms of like sharing content is really helpful as well. If you're able to like stuff over on Twitter, share out a link, or, you know, subscribe to the podcast, do things of that nature, leave a rating and review. Those things are really helpful as well. And I do really, truly appreciate all you guys who are out there supporting me and supporting all the guys at Sports Ethos. But that'll do it. Again, any questions about anything related to the podcast, the draft guide, any questions, comments, or concerns, anything of that nature, JoeOrico99 over on Twitter. And, of course, Ethos Fantasy BB as well. SportsEthos.com. If you go and hover over the MLB tab, you will see all of the great content we got. We'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, guys, take care and have a great night.
Te presentamos a Daniela. A ella nada le sorprende.
Siempre estoy lista para lo que venga.
Por eso,
este año fui a Walmart a comprar todo para combatir mis alergias antes que comience la temporada de alergias.
Claro, porque Walmart tiene
productos de alta calidad para las alergias como descongestionantes, sprays nasales, antihistamínicos y más. Y a precios muy buenos.
¿Y sabías que también tiene pickup y delivery? Daniela, ¿te sorprendiste?
¿Yo? No, ¿qué va? Claro que sabía que Walmart tiene pickup y delivery.
Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.